Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important and largest segment of society. To those of you who know that all of the world's religious institutions, political institutions, economic, academic, military, and media institutions are corrupt, and that all of these things are counterproductive, that none of them can be fixed, and that for the most part, the masses of people are being played for fools, and they're allowing it. Our phone number, if you would like to join us in our campaign against these institutions and for freedom, is 877-300-7645. I feel regret in not having brought this to your attention several days ago. When I read the terms of the ceasefire in the Ukraine, I recognized that there was a 0% possibility that it would prevail. And I read that because it looked like it was written by the European Union, like it was written by NATO, like it was written by the thugs in Kiev to promote their propaganda that somehow Russia is to blame for the fighting in the Ukraine as opposed to NATO, the thugs in Kiev, and the European Union, as well as, of course, the instigator, the United States. So I read the terms and conditions, and I'll share them with you here in a moment. Celebrate this all you want. Anytime there is a one-sided agreement that uses revisionist concepts, that presents myths as if they were resolutions, there is no chance it's going to prevail. And I read it, thought that, said, you know, I'm going to share that. I cut the story out, and unfortunately, Muslims started behaving so badly around the world that we just didn't get to the story, but it turned out to be true. Here's the story on the agreement. An agreement aimed at reaching the fighting Ukraine has been formed following marathon talks in Belarus. The leaders of Russia, Ukraine, Germany, and France announced that a ceasefire would begin on February 15th. The deal also includes weapon withdrawals and prisoner exchanges, but key issues remain to be settled. That weapon withdrawal thing, that was the was one of the glitches that was so obvious. The pro-Russian rebels in eastern Ukraine have signed the agreement. Thousands of people have died in almost a year since fighting in the region began. The BBC's, by the way, why did fighting in the region begin? But why don't we just go back to the root? Even if you don't want to connect the United States, CIA, and State Department to the rebels in Kiev, which, and if you don't want to make that connection, then you're just denying the obvious, because the Russians made the conversations that our State Department had with the rebels, encouraging them, telling them we'd fund them, telling them they should continue to push for the overthrow of the popularly elected government. Those telecommunications have been made public, and the State Department is acknowledging that they're accurate. So even if you pull away the instigation by the United States in Kiev that started this whole thing, then you still have to recognize that thugs in Kiev started the second revolution on that country, armed insurrection in a matter of the 20-year history of that country, and that using Molotov cocktails and weapons and belligerent mob tactics, they murdered and rioted their way into power. That's what happened. Now, there is no other way to define those events. You can seek to justify them and say that, you know, the government was too pro-Soviet, so the people elected it. It was mob rule is what took over in Kiev. And the pro-Russian, the ethnic Russian, the Russian-speaking population of Crimea and the eastern part of the country along the Russian border in Luhansk and Donetsk, said, wait a minute, we elected a government, you overthrew the government through violent means, we don't want to be associated with your new government. You know, your new government was created so that you could go play with Europe. Go play with Europe. We're, you know, our history is with Russia. We've been with Russia for 300 years. You think you can cut a better deal with the Europeans? You go play with them. We don't want to be part of you anymore. But, of course, the Ukrainians who use thuggery to take over the government deployed their military against those very citizens that say, you know, we don't want to be part of your coup. And when they began to bomb cities from the air, bomb cities using artillery, run their tanks through cities, the ethnic Russians responded. And that's what caused the civil war. That's why we're in this mess. And the moment you forget that's the problem, you've lost sight of everything. Now, if you want to go one step further back, then you can look at the fact that the Ukrainian experience as an independent country, apart from Russia, is a wholly failed enterprise. They have, as a country, been bankrupt at least a half a dozen times. Every time they borrow money from either the West through the International Monetary Fund or from Russia, they always welch on the deals. They never pay the money back. They cut deals with Russia for the pipelines that Russia built through the Ukraine when the Ukraine was part of Russia. And they don't pay their bills for the gas that Russia offers them at a huge discount. And they're in arrears $2 billion. And so Russia said, okay, you know, we'll work out a new arrangement. And offered them $15 billion worth of loans. But, oh, you know, the West that wants to control everybody through bankers stepped in and said, no, even though we have loaned you $15 billion that you haven't paid us back, rather than taking the $15 billion from Russia, here's $25 from Europe and the United States. That's one step closer to the origin of all of this. But, of course, the origin is this is a belligerent people. The worst two acts of the Holocaust, by far, overwhelmingly, the two worst events in the horrid history of the Holocaust, both took place in Ukraine. That's why Putin responded to the initial mob uprising in Kiev and called it a pogrom, denouncing it as the Ukrainians being Ukrainians again. This time they were rising up against a left-center government as opposed to rising up against Jews. These are people you do not want to be dependent upon you. And yet that's what we have done. And now we have a war where the United States and Europe are providing the weaponry to Kiev to bludgeon the citizens of Donetsk and Luhansk. And the citizens of Luhansk and Donetsk have taken over the former Ukrainian military bases throughout the region and are effectively confronting the Ukrainian military. There's only one answer for this. The answer was obvious the moment that this coup occurred. The answer was what happened in Crimea. Let the people vote, and if they don't want to be part of the gang-ruled government in Kiev, let them separate. The whole Ukraine experience has failed anyway. If they want to be independent of that failure, let them. You know that the graft in the Ukraine is amongst the highest anywhere in the world? The estimates on government spending is that 80% of what the government spends, particularly in the military, which is the government's biggest spending area in a country like this, 80% of that which is spent is stolen, scrapped. Every word that has come out of the Ukrainian government's mouth since they had their little elections around Kiev have been lies. And so this agreement reflected that. So let's go through the agreement. the ceasefire was to begin on February 15th. Well, you know, it's they have a problem there because it is now February 18th. Heavy weapons were to be withdrawn beginning on February 16th and completed within 2 weeks. Well, the heavy weapons were being wielded by the Ukrainian government, and they didn't withdraw them. The limited amount of heavy weapons that the rebels have are those that they took from the Ukrainian military bases in the east. And there is no place they can withdraw them to. Where can they withdraw them? I mean, really, this is their area. They can withdraw them to where? Now, the Ukrainians can take them back into the area of Kiev and stop harassing the ethnic Russians. So I read that and said, well, that's a non-starter. All prisoners to be released, amnesty for those involved in fighting. Well, amnesty would suggest that those who are defending Luhansk and Donetsk from the military assault being perpetrated by Kiev somehow were doing something wrong. And yet every one of you would have done the same thing, put in the same circumstance. The withdrawal of all foreign troops and weapons from Ukrainian territory. There's no proof that there are any. You know, yes, the weapon systems being used on both sides are Russian. Why? Because the Ukraine was part of Russia. It's where Russia manufactured an enormous part of its military arsenal. And so the weapon systems are both Russian. And so this withdrawal of all foreign troops and weapons, first, there is no proof whatsoever that Russian military personnel engaged in this battle. Anytime. None. And to say that they have to withdraw, I mean, Putin would just laugh at this and say, they're already withdrawn because they never entered. It is absurd to the extreme. In fact, the only presence of Russian military in Ukraine is to train the overall Ukrainians how to use Russian hardware, because it's theirs. So when you have an agreement that says that withdrawal of all foreign troops, and there are no foreign troops, except, of course, the CIA and NATO leaders, immediately flocked to Kiev. But, of course, they don't think of those as foreign troops. But that's the facts. American CIA, American military leaders, American politicians, American involved in NATO, all flocked to Kiev, as did American bankers. The foreigners have been on the side of Kiev. Now, this notion that when you put in an agreement like this, something that is falsified, that is mythical, which is the withdrawal of foreign troops. And it was the moment I read that, I said, no chance. It's laughable. I mean, if I were on the Donetsk side, I'd sign it, sure. Because there were no foreign troops. There are far enough able-bodied ethnic Russians in Donetsk and Luhansk with the equipment they were able to take from their factories and from the bases in their territory to defend themselves, and they have been doing so against a horrible onslaught. And mind you that if a man is about 40 years old, then there is that he would have absolutely been involved in the Russian military. You know, 20 years ago, the Ukraine was part of the USSR. Every man would have served in the Russian military from, I don't know what the ages were, but probably 18 to 22. And so they would have already had experience on this equipment. And many of the factories to make this equipment are in the Luhansk and Donetsk area, and so they know how to operate it. And when I read that, it was that was over. And then you read they have to remove all foreign weaponry. Well, all of the weaponry used in Ukraine was part of the Soviet arsenal. Both sides. All of it. How are you going to remove it all? Now, are you going to demilitarize the Ukraine? They've already said that they need to go from a $5 billion to a $20 billion armed investment in weaponry in their military. And, of course, that's what NATO wants. NATO wants a thorn in Russia's side, right at Russia's heart. And that's the whole purpose of this was to fight the Cold War, to justify NATO, because NATO had no justification. And so NATO wanted to be reinvigorated, to be re-justified, to be given a purpose. It's like the American submarine fleet. It's got absolutely no purpose. But if you can make Russia into the big bad bear again, if you can provoke China again from being your economic engine to being a enemy somehow, then you can pretend you have justification for your submarine fleet. Well, the case of NATO, they had no mission. There's no purpose for NATO whatsoever. And so NATO creates this friction in the Ukraine to create a thorn in Russia's side to justify its existence. As for the Obaminator, his role in all of this is that he was the guy who was going to reset his relationship with Russia. He mocked Bush and said that, you know, Bush and Putin were at odds with each other. And that was that was not acceptable, that Russia was too important on the world scene, and that he was going to reset that relationship with Russia, just like he was going to reset the relationship with Muslims. Now, both of those things worked out really well, didn't they? And you still have idiots running around with Obama bumper stickers on their cars, knowing what he has thrust the world to the precipice of world war with Russia, while actually igniting World War III with Muslims. Congratulations. What an idiot. So you read this and you say, there's no chance that this is going to prevail. It says the disarmament, this is the next one. And this is the, first of all, withdrawal of all foreign troops and weaponry from Ukrainian territory. But the whole idea here is that what is now called the Ukraine is no longer the Ukraine. The only area that is really the Ukraine is the area to the northwest. The south and the east is back part of Russia. That's the reality of it. That's what happened with the coup. It's like, you know, America invading Iraq and not being able to count and not knowing who the Kurds were, who the Christians were, who the Sunnis were, and who the Shias were, and not knowing the outcome of their invasion if you gave people choice and the opportunity to vote. I made the same mistake in Ukraine. Even when this says from Ukrainian territory, it's predisposing that the original agreement that created actually a ceasefire that lasted until the Ukrainian government became belligerent again and pressed their military from the Donetsk airport to start bombarding the city center of Donetsk, that they had agreed to give the area surrounding Donetsk and Luhansk independence. And now what they're calling it is Ukrainian territory. You've got so many problems with the agreement that it's not an agreement, that it's an absolute waste of breath. People are living in a fantasy world. You know, one of the things that I learned in business, I learned this very early in business, that those kinds of people who compete in business to win always lose. If you negotiate a deal where you win so that you think that you've out-negotiated the other party and you've prevailed and at their expense, then you've lost. Because the other party will find a way to get out of the agreement. And they'll recognize your attitude, and they'll respond in kind. The only kind of agreements that hold, that work, are those that are mutually beneficial. There's a reason that the terms and conditions of the covenant and the benefits of the covenant have withstood the test of time. They're good for both parties. It's a mutually beneficial arrangement. It's as good for God as it is for us. Now, I know a lot of people would say, oh, well, look at, you know, what God doesn't need us. And look what he's giving to us. And what he's giving to us is much more than we're giving to him. No, not from his perspective. He's getting what he needs and wants most. We're getting what we need most. It's a fair, mutually beneficial agreement. This is not. The difference between man's relational agreements, the covenant is a relational agreement, and God's are that God's are mutually beneficial. This one was not. And so it had no chance to prevail. Ukraine to allow resumption of normal life in the rebel areas by lifting restrictions. What you need to do is to remove yourself entirely from them. They need to be independent. This gets me back to the U.S. Civil War and to the disgusting and reprehensible president that America has enshrined on the National Mall of the great unifier, Abraham Lincoln. Why is it that you would call a nation free if states and people within those states don't have the opportunity to disassociate from the relationship, from that union? It's not free. It wasn't a battle for freedom. It was a battle for enslavement. The same thing is true here. Constitutional reform to enable decentralization for rebel regions by the end of 2015. No. They don't want decentralization. That decentralization isn't what this is all about. They want to be independent. They want to dissolve any former bounds. In fact, they've already been dissolved. They were dissolved when the thugs in Kiev did their thing. Ukraine to control border with Russia if conditions are met by the end of 2015. The Ukrainians can't control the border with Russia, and they most certainly can't in the east, which is where the Ukrainian military has to leave for this conflict to end. But the Ukraine controlling a border with Russia could only occur if, and this is the ultimate game plan, if it was done with NATO. So here's the aftermath. The pro-Russian rebels pounded, encircled Ukrainian government forces on Monday, and Kiev said it would not pull back heavy guns while a truce was being violated, leaving the European brokered peace deal on the verge of collapse. So they retained their guns. And the encircled Ukrainian government forces, this is not a violation of the agreement. The agreement specifically ignored this particular battle. It didn't just say, not mention this battle. It specifically said, we're not going to deal with this. You guys fight that out, and then we'll go on and we'll deal with the other issues. So this was not a violation of the agreement, but that's the nature of the Kiev regime. They lie about everything. The European Union kept pressure on Russia and the rebels by announcing a new list of separatists and Russians targeted with sanctions. Yeah, that's the European and American way. We will place economic sanctions on you because you don't capitulate to our mythical view of the world. Because you don't kowtow to our scheme, you don't submit to our scheme, we'll sanction you. It's like the read the playbook out of the Quran. If you do not surrender, submit, in abject humility to Islam, then the jizya sanctions are imposed on you. This is exactly Islam. It was only a matter of time before we would see Islam as a economic, militant, and political force. It's the ultimate fascist mechanism. Fighting, by the way, and these kind of sanctions, what do they always lead to? When you arbitrarily harm another country, either through trade restrictions or some form of sanctions, what does it lead to? War. You think that's what the Europeans and Americans are pushing for, is war? America needs to justify its military. Its military is obviously wholly inept, in fact, counterproductive in the Islamic world. It's absolutely counterproductive in Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and Libya, in Yemen. It is shown to be absolutely not just not only effective, but counterproductive in those countries. So America is trying to justify its military. What better way to do so than start a war with Russia? Except for the fact of all the people that will die. This is Reuters yesterday. Some pro-government forces began on Wednesday to pull out of the eastern Ukrainian town of Deltasev, which is under siege from Russian-backed separatists. By Russian-backed separatists. They're not Russian-backed separatists. They are ethnic Russian. Now, they are separatists. They want to be separated. That's all they want. This is like the South in the Civil War. They just don't want to be part of the Union. That's it. This idea that we're for democracy, that's bull. America's not for democracy. America's for absolute control. It has no interest in what the people wanted. And so they are ethnic Russians who want to be separate from the mess that NATO and America have created. But the withdrawal of the forces from Deltasev is taking place in a planned and organized way. That's not. It's an absolute retreat. And why is it a retreat? Because they're getting pounded. The enemy is trying to cut roads and prevent the exit of troops, he said. The enemy are the exact same people that they want to be part of their country. They're calling half of their country the enemy. How in the world are you going to have a unified Ukraine when half of the country calls the other half an enemy and has been bombarding them with their military? The only solution here is to have Kiev and the region surrounding it unify with a neighboring country in Europe, because it cannot exist independently, and have Donetsk, Luhansk, and Crimea be unified back into Russia. That's it. There is no other reasonable, viable solution to this awful mess. Then we have this morning Ukrainian separatists dubbed by Russian President Vladimir Putin as yesterday's miners or yesterday's tractor drivers. He's referring to the ethnic Russians in Luhansk and Donetsk by what they were. These guys were in the breadbasket of Russia. They were tractor drivers, and there's rich minerals there. They were miners. And now they are operating captured equipment, and they took it right to the NATO-backed Ukrainian military. And they drove Ukraine's army from a key rail hub in the eastern part of the country that was branded as a crushing defeat. Fierce fighting around the town of Deltasev, which railroads linking two major cities, Donetsk and Luhansk. So that's where this is taking place. This is right in the heart of the ethnic Russian region. That's where the Ukrainian military is. And we don't have a journalist, a politician, a military member in this country that's willing to say, well, that's the problem. You have a region that doesn't want to be part of the thugs in Kiev, and yet we put the Kiev military right between them, right in the midst of them. And what did you expect? This is what you should expect. And it says the fires have been raging for days despite a ceasefire brokered by European leaders and signed by Putin to take effect on Sunday. I told you that ceasefire wouldn't work. The past was supposed to be followed by withdrawal of heavenly weaponry from Tuesday. But guess what? Didn't happen. They didn't withdraw until today. And they didn't withdraw until today because they were getting butchered. They were surrounded by people who despised them. That's why they withdrew. And this region was not part. This specific battle was specifically excluded from that agreement. So there's no welching on the agreement. Putin is just laughing at the Europeans. They tried to impose a unilateral, one-sided agreement, and they got their clock claimed. We're returning to Shattering This after the commercial break. Putin's comment is funny. He said, of course, it's always bad to lose. Speaking of the Ukrainian retreat, of course, it's always bad to lose, Putin told reporters. Of course, it's always a hardship when you lose to yesterday's miners and yesterday's tractor drivers. But life is life. It will surely go on. We have Glenn on the line. We haven't talked to Glenn about the Ukraine in some time. What do you think about the chess game being played between the Obamanator and Mr. Putin?
Well, apparently Putin cannot understand it. Ukraine is one nation, indivisible, with tyranny and indebtedness for all. It's indivisible.
Yes. Okay, so yeah, there you go.
I think Putin should just pledge allegiance to that and get used to it.
Yeah, it's just like the old United States of America. Indivisible.
Right.
Yes, with tyranny through the military and through the nationalization of the police forces and taxation upon all. This illusion that you have freedom. No, you try to disagree, to say, you know, I want to opt out of this country. I don't want to be a citizen anymore. And see what they do. See what they do if they say, you know, I don't want you to confiscate half or two-thirds of my earnings because I don't like the way that you're using them to go bludgeon people around the world. I'm not for killing, and you seem to be very fixated on killing. I don't want to give you my money anymore. See what they do to you if you think you have freedom.
You know, if you're going to disparage American freedom as it's offered to you, Mr. Gatta, maybe you should be locked up.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's why they had their conference. They opened it yesterday against terrorism and extremism, because it's viewed as an extreme view to actually value free will and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an extremist view. So, you know, the fact that I'm wholly nonviolent. And that I advocate using words and reason, and that I will wield the U.S. Constitution against the government. It's still, you know, those constitutionalists, they're extremists. You need to be locked up. Yeah, that's the new world that we live in.
I'm really kind of curious as to where this thing's going. Now, supposedly Poroshenko, according to CNN, went to, the front lines today and is overseeing the withdrawal of forces or something. You know, he's going there. But
it's not a withdrawal, by the way. It's a retreat.
Yeah.
It is a retreat. Yeah, they were getting slaughtered. So it is an absolute retreat. I am convinced, Glenn, that there's only one solution. That doesn't mean that that solution is what's going to happen, because the world typically does the wrong thing all the time. But the only solution, it was the same thing that I recognized, that once we'd invaded Iraq, there was only one solution, and that is to give up on the stupidity of a united Iraq and to carve Iraq into separate pieces. And you have to give the Shiite region of Iraq to Iran. You have to establish a legitimate country for the Kurds, and you have to have a separate enclave then for the Christians and the Zoroastrians, which had congregated together, and then the western part of the country becomes a new state for Sunni Muslims. And if we had done that, we wouldn't have these civil wars.
Well, and case in point, I mean,
same thing is true with Ukraine.
Right, and like case in point, I mean, the severing of Pakistan out from India, you know, with the exception of the severing that occurred in the transition and the ongoing quibbling over Kashmir, has worked out pretty well overall.
Yes, it was the right move. Yeah, it was the right move.
Right.
You're not going to get along with them. You're never going to have peace together. So just separate, and you know, you look this region, it is a completely failed enterprise as the Ukraine. We need to recognize that the East wants to join and the South wants to join with Russia. Let them join with Russia. The North and the West wants to join with Europe. Let them join with Europe. Let's separate it and be done with it. Everybody's happy. It's. Can you imagine if during the beginning of the American Civil War, where the South said, we don't want to be associated with the North anymore. That if the North had said, you know, you got to vote to choose to assemble as part of a country. You ought to be able to vote to disassociate. Let's just do that. And, you know, maybe we'll save 650,000 lives. Maybe we'll keep from absolutely destroying the very country we're trying to save to be part of this nation. How much different the world would have been. Maybe the U.S. wouldn't be so belligerent if there were two.